3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Where you've done it. You reach the weekend. Big breaking news out of Baton Rouge. We'll get to that shortly. Ben Baby from Cincinnati covers the Bengals. I'll ask what it's like to cover an OTA. And, of course, actually see the star quarterback, Joe Burrow, in action this week. We'll give you the rest of the guest list coming up. But first, let's just get things started because we got big news.
It's
there she is, Rebecca Black. Jordan, letting you know officially, you've made it to the weekend. 800-998-1003. Remember the number. Something tells me we'll get some calls today on the big breaking news out of Baton Rouge. At ESPN Radio NOLA, Jordan, our question of the day will absolutely deal with this.
Yes.
We will talk with, of course, about the playoffs. Yeah, the Lakers won. There you go. There's your coverage of the Lakers win over the Suns.
Who cares?
You like that? Kristen Clark wrote an interesting piece on the Pels and Zion. The clock is ticking, per se. We'll talk with them at 1:15, and at 2:15, Marlon Favreau will join us. But the big breaking news out of Baton Rouge, if you listen to the show on Wednesday, my last question to Wilson Alexander, who covers the Tigers. We couldn't be seeing the end of the Paul Maneri era, could we? And I asked him, I said, I mean, is that where it's at? And I said, if that were the case, I have a hard time seeing a firing. Right, Jordan? I said, I would have a hard time seeing a firing. It would be more of a maybe retirement.
You did say that.
And Wilson didn't know how to answer that, obviously. But he said, we'll see. But that there had been a lot of smoke. And you know that saying, where there's smoke, sometimes there's fire. Well, earlier this morning, Jacques Doucette, again, always on it, WAFB. Remember, he was walking with Kim Olke just on campus.
He's everywhere.
He's everywhere. He's tied in, man. He texted that there was going to be a meeting or a press conference late afternoon. We've now found out it is at 4:30. And at that time, it will be the official announcement of Paul Maneri retiring from coaching. LSUSports.net putting out the official release as well as the man that led the team to the 2009 national championship is going to retire at the end of the year. 39 seasons, 15 years at LSU. Does it feel like that long? See, what's interesting is as I say that, there's some LSU fans that, yeah, been long enough. Bottom line is this. 34-22 on the season, 13-17 in conference play. First round exit back on Tuesday against Georgia. You've had some early exits in regional, super regional play. You've had highs, you've had lows, you've had ups and downs. I'd love to hear from you, LSU fans, how you feel on this and your thoughts on Paul Maneri. This week, a documentary on Skip Bertman's coaching career at LSU and his legacy was released. Since then, really, hasn't it felt like LSU's tried to find, I'm not going to say the next him, but somebody with stability, can consistently provide a winner? What did you think of the 15 years of Paul Maneri? Because the first thing that pops in my head is I've always felt like, and I said this to him on Wednesday, Wilson Alexander, I feel like every year, mid-February, somebody starts up firepaul.com or firemaneri.com. The expectation level, and Matt Moscona said it this week, the expectation level for LSU baseball isn't to make a regional. It's to make it to Omaha and to win in Omaha. I've said for several seasons, college baseball has gotten a lot tougher. I know that documentary that we're all going to see, Burtman in the early LSU days, that built the old Intimidator. Jordan, you know what the Intimidator is, right?
I do not.
How do you not know what the Intimidator is?
What is the Intimidator?
The big old wall in right field that has all the national championships.
It's called the Intimidator?
Yes.
Never knew that. I told you I only went there for a year. And that's where I did break my nose.
Yes, I did not know. Yeah. Somebody tweet at Jordan the picture of the Intimidator.
I was probably told it, and then yes. I forgot it.
The big old sign right there in the outfield. I don't know. Again, my first initial feelings are, and I don't know if this is fair enough. I always felt like, was he accepted fully by the fan base?
No.
I think he's a very classy guy. Yeah, I mean, he won. They won. But I always felt like LSU fans would be like, well, you know, I mean, who were the Chanticleer? I mean, we had to look up Coastal Carolina, right? Now, granted, they've gone on and played well, and you've seen that all that. But, again, college baseball's changed. If you watch the Burtman documentary, you're going to see college baseball look completely different than it is today. It's harder to get in. You don't have to just go to one university to succeed. More importantly, more universities have invested in college baseball. Baseball has changed. Jordan, I've told you about this, right? In terms of travel ball, personal coaching. I mean, baseball players have gotten better, and it's been more accessible to everybody else. In terms of you have a greater pool of go-get people. Then you add the rising cost of tuitions and stuff. It's something that I know I've talked about locally here a lot, especially when it comes to Tulane. There's only so many scholarships around baseball. I don't have to tell you that some state schools are a lot cheaper than going to private schools, right? Higher end. You got $63K? That's what may cost you to go to Tulane. Or you got 12, or whatever it is, you know? It's different. That's a factor. There's a lot of different factors as to why I don't think you'll ever see the dominance you saw early on that LSU baseball had that brought them to prominence and, quite honestly, created this tougher road for them because other universities and schools saw LSU made money, saw the popularity. I mean, let's be honest. It's football, baseball, basketball over there. Am I lying?
No, it's 100%.
Yeah, so other universities saw that. The SEC saw that. And guess what happened? What did we, when we talked with Paul Maneri at the beginning of the season, what did he say? He says, basically the SEC West can win the national championship. I mean, right? I mean, he said that it was going to be tough. You looked at the preseason polls, stock full of SEC teams. They realized they got the money, the TV revenue and all that. They invested. The ballparks were spectacular. Florida was an embarrassment. They were incredible on the diamond. That ballpark looked like a playground. They've now had a new field put in. They invested. They see you can make money, and it helps the university. But these are just some of the things that pop my head on top of my head immediately. I want to hear from you, LSU fans, though, about this. Who do you want to be the next head baseball coach at LSU? It's a top job.
Glenn Gilbo actually tweeted that out in, you know, his initial one, and mm-hmm. It says,
I have
followed up by the announcement, mm-hmm. Florida coach Kevin O'Sullivan will be targeted.
That's funny you say that, okay? This is not a pat on my back, right? You and Todd are in the same group text. We've been texting for the last hour.
Let's see how long ago this was tweeted.
Okay, when was this?
At 11:36.
Okay, look at my phone. Look at your phone. And see what I text Todd.
See.
I said I would open the checkbook for the Florida head coach. That would be Kevin O'Sullivan. So that's interesting, right? It's interesting.
11:35. You beat him by a minute.
By 1 minute, baby. Hey, 58 seconds. That first foul for AD. I called it.
You said it. You beat Glenn to it.
Yeah, no.
I'll take your word for it, then.
Well, I'm telling you. The graph will tell you. Because I was, I mean, again, that man has done incredible work over there with basically a It's, oh, look, they won. I mean, did you see, like, when they walked out there when they won the national championship? When they beat LSU? I mean, it was like 10 people out there. Hey, good job. You know, where's the football coach? You know, I mean, yes, open it up. But the point is, this is a massive job. So we can look at this several different ways. No doubt, Matt will carry the presser coming up at 4:30. He's had a ton of thoughts on LSU baseball this season. And I think there's a lot of different ways to sort of look at the Paul Menary era. Again, just off the top of my head, in no particular order, I'm thinking of, hey, just things that pop in my head. Jordan, he won. Did he win big enough? Issues at times with lineups, getting players to I guess, grow and go to that next level. I felt it was sort of like, Jordan, if you're not doing well, then bring in Gus. Gus, if you don't do well, then bring in Todd. I mean, you know, it's just sort of like, do players sort of do that? Or is that just the way that program is? You know, you know sort of what that is, and you try to find the next thing. They were upset by injuries a lot of different times. Position coaches and assistants in and out. I felt that the last couple of years, LSU fans have kind of almost been like, okay, is it time to move on? And I think he felt that too and kind of negotiated a deal out of it, his last extension. But here's what he had to say. I've been the luckiest guy in the world to have lived out a childhood dream of becoming college baseball coach. I worked at four wonderful institutions, and it's been the honor of my life to have served as the head coach for LSU for 15 years, to have carried the torch of a program built by Skip Bertman, the greatest college baseball coach of all time, has been a tremendous privilege. It has always been my unwavering goal to sustain the excellence that was created here. I've been blessed throughout my career to coach unbelievable young men of great character and skill, and to have worked with talented and dedicated assistant coaches, support staff, and administrators. It's very difficult to leave a profession that I truly love, but I'm so grateful for the amazing opportunities that have been presented to me through the years. Director of Athletics Scott Woodward said Paul Menary's made an immeasurable impact not only at LSU but across college baseball. Every day he has taken the field, he has honored the game he loves with his class, his character, and commitment to excellence. We are forever grateful for the championships he has won, the student athletes he has inspired, and memories he has gifted our fans for over 15 seasons. Only five coaches in NCAA Division I baseball history have won 1,500 games and a national championship. Augie Garrido over there at Cal State, Fullerton in Texas. Gene Stevenson, Wichita State. Jim Morris in Miami. And Mark Marquez over at Stanford. In Menary's tenure at LSU, the Tigers captured 30 team championships, including the 2009 national title, 8 NCAA regional championships, 5 College World Series appearances, and NCAA Super Regional championships, 4 SEC Conference championships, 6 SEC Tournament titles, 6 SEC Western Division crowns. His 6 SEC Tournament titles ties him with Skip Bertman and former Bama coach Jim Wells in the most for league history. But Jordan, that's, I think, the thing here, isn't it? 15 seasons, 1 national championship, 5 appearances in Omaha. I we haven't taken any calls just yet. I sort of feel that LSU fans, that's going to be his, look, he brought one. I think some fans feel that maybe he should have gotten more. Fair or not, that's the expectation level now. But it's interesting, Glenn Gilbo tweeting. He thinks Florida coach Kevin O'Sullivan will be targeted.
Yeah, and the question of the day is going to be having to deal with Paul Menary. What is your favorite Paul Menary moment with him announcing his retirement from coaching LSU baseball today? So you comment at ESPN Radio NOLA over on Twitter or call in 800-998-1003.
Also tweet out, though, LSU baseball fans, who would you want to be the manager for LSU baseball as well? Quick break, we come back. Ben Baby covers the Bengals. What was it like to see Joe Burrow? Here, throw there, throw everywhere. Ja'Marr Chase. Did he catch any passes on Wednesday and Thursday? We'll talk to him about that. It is The Sports Hangover, Hour 1, is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Clay Young here with John Conroy, the founder and owner of Pest Stop, your do-it-yourself pest control solution. John, last year, a lot of people found a new solution to these brown spots in their yards. It wasn't about fertilizing. It was about
sod web worms.
They are awful, but you can help people with that.
We really can. A lot of people mistake this for a fungus or chinch bugs.
Right.
But this time of year, we're already starting to see customers come in with the exact same problem with circles and brown spots in the yard. This is a simple application. You want to treat the entire yard with a synthetic pyrethroid. But not only will that treatment work for sod webworms, it'll also work for fleas, mosquitoes, and fire ants.
It's so amazing. You guys have answers for everything. If I'm in the New Orleans area, where can I get this stuff?
Well, in New Orleans, our Metairie store is located at 3512 Severn Avenue next to the Pepper Mill. On the North Shore, we're at 1417 North Highway 190. That's in the same shopping center as Sherwin-Williams. And on the West Bank, we're at 2500 LaPalco, just past the Harvey Bridge.
Because at Pest Stop,
we can help you with that.
Summer heat is approaching, and so are the Red Hot Deals.
Red Hot Deals.
At Craig LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Shop online at CraigLeBlancToyota.com or at the store. Great offers like the sporty 21 Toyota Camry or the Corolla with class-leading gas mileage and complimentary two-year maintenance. Or the stylish and dependable 2021 RAV4 and Highlander. Stop by Craig LeBlanc Toyota and make this a summer to remember with your new Toyota. Only at your number one volume dealer in Houma. Craig LeBlanc Toyota.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, head coach Paul Mainieri announcing he will retire at the end of this season. LSU head baseball coach. So that will be the big topic here locally for sure. Early in the week, though, Jordan, it was nice to actually see some teams actually have OTAs, real football being played. And especially when it ties into a Tiger. We bring in Mr. Ben Baby. At Ben underscore Baby covers the Bengals over for ESPN. Ben, what was it like to actually see real football again?
Well, listen, until I see some pads on and I see some people hitting each other, then we'll start calling it real football. I want to be a little hesitant as to what we glorify here in the offseason. But that being said, I was very impressed with what I saw out of Joe Burrow. I mean, the fact that this guy shredded his knee up and it was had the potential to be a catastrophic injury when it occurred. He's only, you know, just a little over 6 months out of surgery. And for him to go out there first day of OTAs, be able to throw it around, be able to participate, I thought was just more than I ever thought I was going to get to see at this point, even, you know, a couple months ago, you know. And we had heard all the rumblings, and a lot of people have been saying, man, he's looking really good. Like, I can't tell you exactly where he's at, but I just know that he looks good. I said, okay. I've been hearing all these things from people inside the building. And then for me to actually see it with my own eyes, I think it kind of blew. I feel like I was being sandbagged a little bit because he looks really good at this point in time. And if you're optimistic that he can come back fully healthy for week one, you have to be encouraged by what you saw on Monday.
Ben, it's almost Cincy South here sometimes on the show. We talked about that, especially leading into the draft. I, for a while, Jordan, back me up here. I was like, give me Ja'Marr Chase. And then everybody around me is like, you're an idiot. He's got to be able to stand up and protect the puck. I'm like, that's great, but it's one. The rest of the line needs to get better. You can call it for plays. Let's just look at it from that perspective. Why do you think he got hit so much and that happened? Because, look, he can get hurt in football on any play. I mean, Brady got hurt, right? That protected him like the Almighty. So what was the problem with the offensive line? Was it play calling? We saw a lot of attempts. Was it just literally five bad offensive linemen? What was the issue, and what did Cincy do in the offseason to make that better?
So I think it's a combination of many things. One, we can, I think, all agree the offensive line wasn't what it needed to be. I think specifically at the guard position, there was a lot lacking there. You know, the Bengals admitted a lot of faults when they made some turnover in the offseason. They got right tackle Riley Reiff, and they got, more importantly, and probably most importantly, a new offensive line coach in Frank Pollock after parting ways with Jim Turner. So they've done all of that to improve the offensive line and the blocking. Now, I think some of this, and a lot of people may not be really wanting to hear this, but I think even Joe will admit this. I think some of the hits and the contacts that were that he kind of sustained were partially his fault as well. You know, he was coming from a place at LSU where he was one of the best athletes on the field. He was the ability to be a great playmaker. And in the NFL, the time to extend plays and the ability to kind of free roam a little bit is diminished. And we saw a couple instances of that. One time he didn't get away and he took a big sack. The other time he was able to do it, but he still sustained the contact. And that's kind of the biggest thing. We know he didn't slide at LSU. It's something he said. He said, I'll slide when they start paying me to play. And now they are. And so that's kind of been a part of the game he's kind of had to tweak. But for him, I think he acknowledged throughout the year he's got to get the ball out a little bit faster. You know, he's going to kind of got to stay within the rhythm of the offense. And by and large, and the Bengals are the same way, have to do a better job of protecting him. Yeah. They drafted Clemson Jackson Carmen in the second round, presumably to come play one of the starting guard spots. So they'll have another, Riley Reiff will be a new starter at right tackle. And Jonah Williams, we'll see if he'll be healthy for the start at left tackle. So there are a lot of things that everybody can do, including Burrow, to make sure that his protection is better.
Speak with Ben Baby, covers the Bengals over for ESPN, because that's where I was going to go to next with some of the players that they did bring in and some of the additions and changes. And as I mentioned, I advocated for Ja'Marr Chase, and obviously you know how this goes, Ben. You're out there, you're trying to give the people what they want, your video of him throwing, and Ja'Marr drops it, and now he's a bust. I love the comments going back and forth, right? The greater than, less than, Penei Sewell, Ja'Marr Chase, all of that. But just your impressions, man, of Chase, your first chance of meeting and talking to him, you know, things of that nature.
Yeah, he seems like a really energetic guy, and I used to cover the SEC. I used to cover A&M, so I have a ton of friends who cover. Yeah. I know basically that whole LSU beat down Baton Rouge. It's a rowdy bunch, but they're a good bunch. I know that Ja'Marr has always been that guy. He's always been a big-bodied guy, and you can see that in person. He's really fluid. He runs his routes really well. You know, he did have a couple of drops, not just the one that was on video that I caught, but, you know, we saw a couple throughout the day. Like I said, I'm not really concerned about any of that. Even if that happens during games at the beginning of the year, we don't need to get to a point in football to where a rookie acts like a rookie and then all of a sudden we're just going, how is this possible? Well, they're called rookie mistakes for a reason. And so I'm not really concerned about that aspect with Ja'Marr. I think the big question is, can Ja'Marr do what they want kind of him to – will he help Burrow function and this offense function in the way that they're anticipating? Meaning, can he open up these big plays? Can he kind of extend defenses vertically? And can Burrow kind of make that deep ball work this year? I know that's been a big point of emphasis. He's worked on his velocity this offseason. And really, I'm curious to see what the strategy is going to look like. Because watching Joe Burrow, and everybody who saw him at LSU knows this, I think he is at his best when he's getting the ball out of his hands quickly. He's able to survey the field and use his mind as much as his arm and legs to go out and dissect the defense. And I think the quicker that you're able to get the ball out of his hands and you're able to give guys who can make big plays after the catch, the better your offense is going to look. And Ja'Marr Chase was phenomenal at LSU in creating yards after catch and really good quality yak. And I think that's going to be the key. If you can let Ja'Marr get him in space, give him good matchups, and then let him go from there, I think that's the best way to get these big plays that the Bengals are looking for.
Speaking with Ben Baby, covers the Bengals for ESPN. You know, it's interesting how things sort of work. Obviously, here in New Orleans, we talk basketball with Pels and the East and the West and the strength there. And, you know, we're talking about the Saints' upcoming season and their schedule. And you're looking at the AFC and NFC, and I wonder if part of that other reason of getting a guy like Ja'Marr Chase, it looks like if you want to win the AFC, you're going to have to put up points, huh, Ben? I mean, you saw what Buffalo did bringing in Stephon Diggs. They were playing college football the last month of the season. If the Chiefs are healthy, you know what they're capable of doing. And, look, Cleveland kind of took that step. They got in the playoffs last year and won. So when you look at everything, it kind of does seem like you're going to have to produce on offense in the AFC, huh? Even in your own division, AFC North.
Yeah, so not to get really too macro here, but I'm a Texas guy, and this is, for me, I used to cover Texas high school football for a long time, and this is basically a 20-year revolution in the making, and we've seen it over time. And it started out, you know, in Texas, you really started to see it, and even like 5-6 years ago, a lot of people wondered what the Big 12 was doing. They're like, how are they putting up these crazy games? Nobody right. plays any defense. Then all of a sudden, Patrick Mahomes comes into the NFL, and they go, oh, this is why they're not playing any defense. They've got guys like Mahomes out there and, you know, receivers running around. And what the NFL and even in the SEC, we saw Nick Saban finally, yeah. who hates basically offense and throwing the ball, said, you know what, if I want to win championships, this is what I have to do. I mean, it's a big reason why Ed Orgeron was successful and Les Miles wasn't. And now we're seeing it in the NFL as well, that if you want to win at the highest level, you must have an elite passing attack. And if you do not have that, then your ability to win at a certain level is capped. And so I think that's really what we're seeing more than anything. When you look at the trends across the NFL, it's what we've seen in the SEC, it's what we've seen in the Big 12, and what we've seen in the preps route for a number of years now. And it has finally trickled up because you have so many elite quarterbacks, so many high-end wide receivers. I mean, this revolution is just going to keep on rolling. I mean, it's going to take someone running the triple option maybe to get it back, you know, balanced towards the run. But, you know, when we look at the way the game is going to keep being changed, what we're seeing at the college level, we're going to start seeing more of in the NFL.
Ben, I think one of the things that's also going to be interesting to see this year is how teams do try to stop, you know, some of these offenses. Because it's, I'm not going to say cyclical, but teams are going to have to find a way and learn, and obviously rules can sort of help. But how Cincy's defense, we focus a lot, obviously, on the offense. How are the Bengals' defense in terms of what they drafted, some of the moves they made in the offseason? Do you think they can make improvements next year? Because there were some leads last year that just, you know, couldn't hold on to.
Yeah, you know, I think that's really one of the big question marks about this roster. They got Trey Hendrickson, former New Orleans State defensive end, who's now was one of their big, you know, upfront acquisition. Chidobe Awuzie, they got him to play cornerback along with Trey Wayne, who was hurt all of last year. They've made a lot of adjustments defensively. They've spent the money. They've really retooled that side of the ball. But it still remains to be seen, you know, what this is going to look like in year three under Lou Anarumo, their defensive coordinator. You know, I thought last year when they kept things pretty simple, they played really well. And if they can play like they did at the end of last year, if they can find ways to manufacture pass rush, I think you'll see an improved unit. But for me, after letting Carl Lawson go in free agency, after not signing William Jackson, who I thought, you know, were probably the two best available free agents, to be quite honest, at their respective positions, I just don't know if this defense is going to be better. So we're going to find out, you know, where that side of the ball sits. And they've got a great dynamic playmaker in Jesse Bates, who I think is one of the best safeties in the NFL. And if they can build around him and if they can really make some strides, you could have a team that's theoretically competing for a playoff berth in December.
I'll tell you this. I need some backup here. I don't know. I'll ask you. My intern's Team Herbert. I'm Team Burrow. I'm seeing, you know, already top 25 under 25. They got Herbert over Burrow already. And a better team with the Chargers over there. What do you think, Matt? Do you think this could be a budding rivalry in the AFC, even though they've never really played against each other all this? But you get what I'm getting at, right? Is Cincinnati talk radio or comments you kind of get comparing those two already, or is it too early?
Cincinnati doesn't want to have that conversation yet. I think that's a little scary conversation to have over here, but I think it's the correct conversation to have. I was really bummed that Herbert didn't start week one because then their first games would have been against each other. You know, Burrow obviously started that week one opener and the Chargers won with Tyrod Taylor and then won in the last second after the Bengals had a touchdown nullified. So, you know, I think, you know, the fact that we're going to get a Herbert-Burrow matchup this year is going to be really great. And those were the two top quarterbacks we believe the Bengals were looking at, was Burrow and Herbert. And Burrow was far more successful in college, but when you see Justin Herbert live, you see his build, how easy he throws the ball. Mm-hmm. He looks like your prototypical quarterback. And Joe Burrow, if we're going to be quite honest, I think one of the big setbacks or one of the things that has been his biggest flaw over the years is the lack of arm strength, and that's what he's had to overcome to be an elite quarterback. And you know, we're seeing, you know, last year at times he was able to overcome that as well. And I think that's, you know, Burrow has never looked like the superstar quarterback that you really theoretically wanted. And he's still played, but he's been the best at every level he's been at. And that's what makes this a really fascinating conversation. And right. I think this Herbert-Burrow rivalry will only intensify, you know, and especially I think this is going to create, you know, a little bit of pressure on Burrow, which I don't think he minds, because if Herbert has another big year, you know, I think and shows that promise that he did in his rookie season, mm-hmm. and Burrow struggles, there are going to be some questions about if the Bengals made the right choice. There will be a lot of hindsight. But Burrow, knowing Burrow as well as I do, knowing how competitive he is and how much work he's putting in this offseason, I'm expecting him to have a really good second year. And the fact that we saw what we did at OTAs and the progress he's making in his rehab shows how committed and serious he is to being a champion in the NFL.
Ben, as we close up, it's a fascinating conference in terms of young quarterbacks. Let's see what Tua does. Mac Jones over to the Patriots. We know what Mahomes has done already with the Super Bowl win. Josh Allen is young. Lamar Jackson waiting to get his next big contract there. You know, you see over in Cleveland, is Mayfield the guy? I mean, he's been in the playoffs now. Who's going to be the next Pittsburgh core? Just you got in Jacksonville, the number one draft pick in Trevor Lawrence. The AFC stock full of quarterbacks right now, man, when you think about it.
Yeah, it definitely is. And what we're really seeing, like I talked about earlier, is now I think NFL coaches have really started to mold their thinking, their philosophies on what wins at a certain level. And what that does is creates avenues for guys to really, for there to be dynamic quarterbacks, for there to be dynamic offenses, and to take risks in your scheme that maybe we didn't see a handful of years ago. And it's what we love about the college game. And now we're starting to see that in the NFL. I think that, you know, if you remember, there was that dramatic Monday Night Football game a few years ago, I think it was 2018, between the Rams and the Chiefs. And we saw Jared Goff and Mahomes going toe-to-toe, and it looks like Oklahoma State, it looks like Bedlam. And we're like, this might be what the NFL looks like. And now we're starting to see that. Like you said, we have all these dynamic quarterbacks, all these great receivers, and a lot of great offensive minds. I think the best is yet to come, and we're only getting started with this kind of new era of what the NFL is going to be.
I was jealous, Ben, watching you on the Twitter feed. You know, we follow you, and you were there. I know it's OTAs, but I'd kill for some OTAs right now. I just honestly would. You know, our team opted out. At Ben_baby is the way to follow on Twitter. Thanks so much, man. Enjoy your time.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate y'all.
Yep, for sure. Covers the Bengals for ESPN. Glenn Gilbo would join us at 12:45. Just got in touch with him. He tweeted at 11:36, right, a minute after I text you guys.
Correct.
I think Kevin O'Sullivan should be there. I'm not saying that I'm the one that thinks that that's who should know. I'm just saying. So where is Glenn get that from? Why? Mike Bianco could be another name. ECU head coach, went to LSU. LSU fans want to hear from you. Paul Maneri announcing he will retire from baseball following the end of the season. Want to hear from you, Tiger fans. 800-998-1003 is the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
A new name, a new era. TGMC is now Terrebonne General Health System. This change reflects our transition to more of an all-around healthcare partner rather than just a healthcare provider. With new facilities, new innovations, and new ways to help you, we've done more than change our name. We've changed our future. To see what's new at Terrebonne General Health System, visit tghealthsystem.com.
Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're looking for satisfaction, there's no need to wait. With Credit Karma Money, you could win cash reimbursements for debit card purchases. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win daily instant karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Just go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
Goodyear knows the importance of keeping momentum as you head down the stretch. Momentum starts with movement. It's pulled from the air like a contested rebound. Momentum builds with steals and fast breaks, and is proven by deep threes as the shot clock expires. Momentum is how we change the game. And now it's time to discover where it can take us. Goodyear, more driven.
It's so on. The SiriusXM Listen Free event is happening now. Just press the SAT button in your car to hear over 100 channels, including ad-free music of every kind, plus sports play-by-play and talking news for everyone. Enjoy even more free when you download the SXM app. Hear expertly curated podcasts, ad-free extra channels of music for any mood, SiriusXM video, and the ability to create your own Pandora music stations. Don't miss out. Listen free now.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Baseball here, baseball there, baseball everywhere. Big news. Out of Baton Rouge, Paul Maneri announcing his retirement at a team meeting at 11:30. The school will hold a 4:30 press conference. 800-998-1003. We'll have Glenn Gilbo, the advertiser, USA Today. Next segment, in which he wrote about Kevin O'Sullivan likely will be a target, among others, for sure, as a lot of different names will come up. I'd love to hear from you. If you're an LSU fan, what do you think of this? What do you think of the 15-year tenure of Paul Maneri? One national championship in 15 seasons, tons of other different conference and division titles as well. And Jordan, I said baseball here, baseball there, baseball everywhere, an elimination game. Southeastern UNO going on right now in the first inning.
Executes a great pitch.
3-3.
Uh-oh. In the air to right. Forget about it. A two-run absolute missile off the bat of Bo Branton.
Did you ever park in that parking lot? I was in right field.
Yes, I have.
There are signs that say, be careful.
In the home half of the first.
So Southeastern went up 3-0, and then the Privateers have battled back with at least five here in the bottom of the first, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Well, now it's the bottom of the second now.
All right. There we go. Gerald, thanks for giving us a buzz here on the Sports Hangover. Man, what you got for us today?
Gustavo, letting you know Maneri pulled off a miracle. What other baseball coach could have beaten Texas by striking out more than them, mm-hmm. by not getting as many hits? The only way he won is that Texas committed five errors only to hand it over to you because the team was full of freshmen and sophomores. And then he goes into the oblivion. Close, but no cigars. All the way to the bitter end. And on top of that, he had a nice little nest egg for himself. By the way, O'Sullivan's not coming. You can bank that. Why would he come to LSU when he's got the whole state of Florida under control?
And I think the other element, too, they just built him a new ballpark. He is their Skip Bertman. You know, whereas here, even Paul Maneri said it in his retirement statement, it's been an honor to try to continue the excellence of a program built by Skip Bertman. You always have that shadow of Skip Bertman, you know? So that is something to I guess, people would weigh, right?
You know who would be the best pick?
Who you got?
And I'm not kidding. Mm-hmm. Andy Cannizzaro. I know he's got a checkered past, but there's a reason why Mississippi is going to be in a top eight seed. It wasn't because of his replacement. It was Andy Cannizzaro brought that talent in, mind you. Okay. And that's never stopped LSU before. I mean, look at Will Wade, Coach O, Les Miles. All of those coaches had personal problems. That never stopped LSU before. No?
No, look. You make points, man. I'm definitely hearing them.
You don't remember me, man. I used to ride you.
Oh, no, I remember your voice. Absolutely. Yes. No, I absolutely do. Yes, for years, over and over and over again, for sure. Where you been? How you been?
I've been busy. You know, when you have a family.
Right. Oh, I do. I know now. Believe me. The last 4 years, my life has completely
changed. You still
got
your Harley? Please say you still have your Harley.
Jordan, why don't you tell him where my Harley is?
Yeah, it's now in a Nissan.
No. Yeah, well, it's okay. Well, actually, no. It was a Ford Escape at first, and that turned out to be a clunker. It didn't turn out to be another. It went to the family SUV, and it's actually across the street. I sold it to my neighbor for cash so I could read through the bathrooms and kitchens.
Oh, well, to be fair, man. I got a twin brother that's got two of them, and they're sitting in the garage. So, yes. It's nice hearing from you. Yeah, Andy's my choice.
Okay.
Nobody else.
I'll let you go.
There he goes. As UNO has put up another run. Is that why you looked all disgusted there?
Yeah, huh? I mean, the outfielder completely just, you know,
dropped
a pop fly.
Oh, are we throwing players under the bus here?
Let's
see. Here's
it.
The replay. It's a pop-up. Straight center. Well, okay, first off, that
was
not
drop
a pop-up.
He didn't drop it.
This is why you would never be play-by-play.
I was trying to look
that
at
that was
you.
A line drive straight at the center fielder, and anybody that's ever played, which clearly you've never played, especially by that statement.
I played outfield.
That is the hardest thing to actually judge. A line drive at center coming right at you like a missile. That thing was about 5 to 10 feet tops off the ground. You're something else. You know what? I'm going to venture to say you've never caught a foul ball. A fly ball. Have you?
I told you I was called the glove. That was my nickname.
I seriously doubt you were the glove in the outfield, my friend.
If someone wants to go buy me
I'm going to tell you right now, my glove doesn't fit me anymore. Don't underestimate how hard it actually is to be a fielder in the outfield. Okay?
I did play the easiest position, though, as being first base.
That's actually not that easy. You got to do a lot of footwork moving to and from the bag.
From what I've heard from a lot of people, first base is one of the easier positions.
Did you see the Pittsburgh Pirates first baseman yesterday? Well, I could have
made an out. I'm telling you that right now.
Lions down 6-3. Bottom of the second. We'll keep you posted. Uh-oh, ground ball is short. He got it, Jordy. It's good. There we go. Out the inning.
Oh, look, thank God. Thank God we didn't try to do a tag down at first base.
Hey, you should have thrown home. I still can't believe that. Twitter Dave, thank you for giving us a call here, sir, on the Sports Hangover. What you got, man? Hello, sir. Hey, Twitter Dave, how are you?
All right, can you hear me?
I can now. How are you? Yeah, I got you.
All right, what's going on, Gus, Jordan? I just want to weigh in on this Ellison thing.
Sure, man.
The best part of his tenure, without a doubt, is his retirement. And the fact is that I forget the name of the guy that he just called, but I've heard him on, like, every radio show. I think he's, like, Texas Al or something like that. But he just don't like LSU. You know, he just loves the state of Texas. But anyway, what I wanted to say is the fact is that if it was any other program, what you mentioned earlier, all these things he did, with the one national championship, that would be fantastic for about every program in America except about 14, and we're one of them. You know, we had that taste of that what Alabama's going through with their program in football. You know, we win here, we win championships, we do things that most teams in America can't do, and we lost that. And I think it comes in with them recruiting. Last year, we had two guys that are injured that was on the bench, pitchers. We ran out of left-handers last year. Do you recall that? We didn't have no left-hand pitchers, and it was an issue. And the only reason why I know about that is because I was watching one of the games, and it was brought up the next day on another show that comes on after. And the fact is, that I just felt like the recruiting part, he lost his edge. Mm-hmm. And we need to get that back. Now, with saying this, you could throw a bunch of names out there, put an end game and all that. I think we have the right guy. We have the right guy as AD to figure out who we're going to put in there. And I really believe we have, this will be his first big hire, minus Coach O, because I don't count him.
Right.
I don't even know if that's the guy he wanted. But this would be his big hire.
Let me ask you this, Twitter Dave. I got 2 minutes before the break, but I want to ask you: what's the number one criteria? Is it experience? Do you want someone that has won in Omaha? Do you want somebody new, up and coming? Do you want somebody tied to the program? Do you want somebody in the SEC, played in the SEC, coached in the SEC? What is of the criteria that you want? Number one.
Number one is ties to the SEC with ties to the state. And the guy that just was on, I hate to bring him up again, but he's right. He's right. That coach that got in a little in trouble, he was good. He was great at LSU, but got in a little trouble in Mississippi State. But he's my first guy that I'll bring in.
Petavino.
Canisaro. But I know you got to go.
Sorry.
Love the program, brother. I'll call you back another time.
Sounds good, man. Appreciate it. Twitter Dave with the phone call. So that's two for Canisaro. And he made an impact. 800-998-1003 if you'd like to give us a buzz. Jordan's face is about as crimson red as your... You know what? That's a Texas A&M Adidas shirt there, buddy.
Is it? It's just.
I'm almost positive they're Adidas as well. Or is it Adidas? Do you say Adidas or Adidas?
I got the whole Adidas gear.
You are. I mean, you basically look like you just walked out of Texas A&M practice.
I'm repping them.
White shorts with black stripes. The crimson shirt with the white stripes and the white Adidas logo.
I got the shoes. I got the pants. All
Glenn Gilbo going to give us his thoughts next, and then you can call in and talk to the Aggie himself, Jordan Kleber. When did you decide? Are you transferring? Are you in a transfer portal?
Adidas, since
SLU is losing?
Is that
what you're doing? You're
Adidas
entering the transfer portal. That's how it works. You want to go to a winning school. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
This NOLA Gold Report is brought to you by NOLA Gold Rugby. Be a part of the gold mine. Visit NOLAGoldRugby.com today for tickets. Coming off of a loss, facing a tough Utah team, and losing key players, the Gold were faced with questions to answer this past weekend. They did in the 29-24 win, says head coach Nate Osborne.
Timmy Gilman, he came off at halftime because he was too injured. We had to throw a kid, Kyle Rogers, into... You know, be the quarterback of the team. He's never done it. A 2-minute conversation in the locker room to catch him up on what I wanted him to do, and he ended up being man of the match and, you know, scoring the winning try. So I think that crowd and that energy and that will and that want to win after what we put out against San Diego was evident on the weekend, and super proud of that victory.
The team enjoys a bye this weekend. Coaches plan for that.
This week's all about mental recovery. Not even thinking about rugby. Coming back next week with a fresh mind and, you know, freshened up bodies and getting ready to bash Atlanta. We own one.
NOLA returns to action June 5th as Atlanta comes to town. This NOLA Gold Report is brought to you by NOLA Gold Rugby. Be a part of the gold mine. Visit NOLAGoldRugby.com today for tickets.
Hey, New Orleans, this is Nate Osborne, head coach of the NOLA Gold, your Major League Rugby team.
Hey, New Orleans, it's Cole Mayer of your NOLA Gold Rugby team. The 2021 Major League Rugby season is here.
In the Shrine on Airline, now called the Gold Mine.
The Gold Mine is COVID conscious, so you can spread out around the stadium to enjoy the hard-hitting, non-stop action of Major League Rugby, filled with world-class players.
And mate, the best part is that our season tickets are about the same price as one game in other pro sports. Check us out at NOLAGoldRugby.com or just call 50 Rugby.
It's Mike Dettelia for Neil Small Engine Incorporated. Listen up. That's what we did at Gravely. We listened to lawn professionals. Then we brought the professional performance home. Gravely residential zero-turn mowers show the neighborhood that you mean business. Zero turns that are as tough as nails, operator comfort beyond compare. We've had 100 years of professional advice to perfect cutting performance. Just drop the deck, put the neighbors on notice. Gravely, driven from within. At Neil Small Engine Incorporated. Locations in Houma, LaRose, and Thibodeau.
We talk sports.
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Gonna speak with Glenn Gilbo here in a second. Jordan, questions of the day, sir.
Yes, has to do with Paul Menard. Give us your favorite Paul Menard moment throughout his 15-year tenure. With the LSU Baseball Tigers. Also, give us who you want to replace Paul Menard as the next manager for your LSU baseball team.
No, you know, don't even give me that look. You're not being considered.
Oh, come on.
Nope. Not being considered.
Hey, bada, 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 bada.
Paul Menard, per Glenn Gilbo, is expected to remain at LSU in a fundraising capacity over in the athletic department. His contract goes through 2024, approximately around $1.1 million. Menard, again, 15 years, announcing his retirement as we bring in Mr. Glenn Gilbo. Sir, thank you for joining us on such short notice. You can be followed over on Twitter at LSU Beat Tweets. I spoke with some people this week, and I kept hearing about smoke. That there was not smoke Laval. I'm talking about just that there was some smoke, and there could be some fire, that something like this could happen. Did you think especially after that first round exit on Tuesday, that we would have something like this by the end of the week?
Well, actually, yeah, I did. I mean, that's sped it out, but I've been hearing for weeks that this has been in the works. They've been meeting with him about his contract and so forth and how they were going to handle it. So it's been in the works for some time. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday night at the Skip Bertman party for the documentary, there are quite a few people there saying that it could happen at any time. They were expecting it to happen, soon after they were eliminated from NCAA play. People thought they'd last a little longer in the tournament, but, this has been in the works.
Glenn, when you look at the 15 seasons there, one national championship, several other types of championships, regional wins and things of that nature, how would you describe the 15-year tenure of Paul Mainieri?
Well, I mean, it's been a great tenure. He almost won a second national championship in 2017. He was just in the Super Regional the last time they had Super Regionals, just in 2019. And he won four SEC titles. He won six SEC tournament titles. He was always in the mix. Came up a little short with great players like Aaron Nola and Alex Bregman in Omaha, but he did some damage in Omaha as well. It's sad that he's having to leave after. And this was his first losing season in the SEC since 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And he does have some health issues. So that's taken away some of his desire to coach. But, he was not fired, and he in no way would have deserved to have been fired if he was after, because he was always in the mix.
Glenn, the reason I asked that as well, too, is just to kind of get a perspective and overview on what he will be remembered of as well. I mean, that's what I said to start the show. I was just thinking quickly because it had just happened right before he came on. Just things that go off the top of your head when you think of it. I mean, they won. They were consistent at that. There was disappointments. There were ups and downs. There was injuries. But I always felt, too, that this was, as well, a part of this tenure. I never felt, and maybe, look, this goes back to basically whoever Glenn goes after Skip Bertman. I just felt there's always a section of the crowd that just never bought him, right? Didn't make the right moves, didn't develop these players, or didn't win enough. It's just not enough. I always felt like there was a section of the LSU audience that just never would buy him or didn't buy him or didn't think he was a good coach. Did you get that sense at all from fans?
Well, yeah, and it's amazing because Skip hadn't coached in 20 years, but his shadow is still over the program, and fans are kind of spoiled, for sure. And, Mainieri's as good as any other coach in the SEC right now, other than Tim Corbett. I mean, his record is very similar to Kevin O'Sullivan, who is the prime candidate to be the next coach. He's got five SEC titles and a national championship and a runner-up. And there he's got four SEC titles and national championship and a runner-up. They each got about the same number of losing seasons. O'Sullivan's had his losing seasons more recently, his national championship more recently. The LSU baseball fan is probably the most spoiled fandom on the campus because they had so much success under Skip. So there's a lot of pressure for that. But Mainieri was always in the mix. There's no question about it. And, could have easily won two national championships.
One of the things, speaking with Glenn Gilbo, USA Today, and the Advertiser has a piece out there already on this news. I think one of the things that's I'm seeing already, right, is, and I thought I texted to a couple of people this morning when I first saw the news of a possible presser, I'm like, Kevin O'Sullivan, open checkbook. I'd love to get that guy. But let's start with the Florida head baseball coach. They just built a stadium for him there. He kind of is, isn't he? They're Skip Bertman. And what would be the enticing part for him to leave that program to come here?
Florida does not draw well.
Yep.
They never have. And, I think he's been there more than 10 years. He might just want to move. And, the the LSU baseball stadium, the fan base, while it can get you fired quick or get you under pressure quick, you know, that's what O'Sullivan likes about LSU. It's the fan base. But, you know, it is kind of a lateral move other than that because, I mean, his recruiting base is not going to be any better. It's not going to be any worse. But, I mean, Florida has all the players. You know, there's more competition there from other schools. But, you know, he may just want to change, you know, kind of like Kim Mulkey, you know. That's what Scott Woodward is known for, LSU's AD. So he's going to try to pay him a lot more money and get him to come over here.
Back and forth with some friends as well and seeing a lot of different tweets. Where would Mike Bianco kind of sit here as well? Is he like that next tier or him? One guy said maybe a surprise. Todd Walker comes in or something. Give me some candidates that you think LSU will reach out to.
If Kevin O'Sullivan doesn't take the job, Mike Bianco is a candidate. Dave Van Horn, the Arkansas coach, Tennessee coach, is a very hot item. He's only making $600,000. Jim Schlossnagel is another name I've heard. But I'm pretty sure it is going to be Kevin O'Sullivan.
So you think he actually would do it, huh?
Yes, I do.
Glenn Gilbo.
And so do a lot of other people, for sure.
Oh, I like that.
Inside scoop, I heard.
Well, no, Glenn, here's the thing, too, man. I just, like I said, the second I saw that, I'm like, that's the guy you need to go to. I mean, when I think of the National Championship Series against LSU, or I think of what he's done over there, pitching, fundamental baseball, that team looks well coached, right? I mean, what are some of the things that make this a here's a checkbook, man, what do you need type of hire to you?
He's 10 years younger than Maneri. That's his best qualification because everything else is about the same as Maneri, as I just told you a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that just tells you how good Maneri has been. And he's up there. Now, O'Sullivan has a reputation for developing players better. And that there's some truth to that because, you know, Maneri's some of his pitchers haven't developed, and there's been a lot of injuries there. Some of that's bad luck. But, you know, you either get players and develop them or you get players who don't need any more development, which Maneri did that too. You know, I mean, he didn't really have to develop Alex Bregman or Aaron Nola. So,
right.
You know, if O'Sullivan can do as well as Maneri, he'll be a good hire.
At LSU Beat Tweet, man, I honestly appreciate the time jumping on short notice. I know it's busy, 4:30, the official press conference, and now we await to see who will be the next head baseball coach. I guess after we find out the Tigers go to regionals. They're in, huh, Glenn?
They're possibly in. Now they might get in to give Maneri a nice goodbye.
The farewell. Yeah. And South Bend, that's where I saw the last time they were put in there, so...
Right, it could enhance LSU's chances of getting a bid. Maybe that's why they did it now. But I would say bet on the Irish for the new coach.
Glenn, appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the weekend.
Okay.
Go follow Mr. Glenn Gilbo on Twitter at LSU Beat Tweets. Got a little more details in that story, and of course he's on it. Sounded pretty confident, Jordan.
Yeah.
That Kevin O'Sullivan could leave Florida and come to LSU.
I will say you called it, Gus.
Sharif Eyeshack. Literally. This is why he's so good. So professional. You ready? I'm ready at 102. So, 102, buddy, is when Sharif Eyeshack will take your phone call. So, we'll come back. We'll open the show. We'll give you the questions of the day. We'll give him some time to settle in. It's a busy, busy afternoon. Massive news. Paul Maneri is retiring. Tiger fans want to hear from you. Should it be Kevin O'Sullivan for Florida? Is this a absolute no-brainer, go-make-it-happen type thing? Or do you want to see somebody else? The Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Heartbroken into pieces. It ain't a way.
Off
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Summer, it's almost here, but Memorial Day savings are already at the Home Depot. In-store, online, store-wide. Like 5 bags of Garden Fresh mulch for just $10. Save on everything from flower beds to a fresh coat of paint. From power tools to ceiling fans. Ready, set, summer. Memorial Day savings, here now, only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Limit 75 bags per customer. Color selection varies by store while supplies last, Continental U.S. only.
It's so on. The SiriusXM Listen Free event is happening now. Just press the sat button in your car to hear over 100 channels, including ad-free music of every kind, plus sports play-by-play and talk and news for everyone. Enjoy even more free when you download the SXM app. Hear expertly curated podcasts, ad-free extra channels of music for any mood, SiriusXM video, and the ability to create your own Pandora music stations. Don't miss out. Listen free now.
It's the perfect season to power your passions during Dell's summer sale event. Save up to $400 on the very latest Dell XPS computers and Alienware systems, all powered by Intel Core processors. You'll also find great savings on Dell monitors, docks, and other popular accessories. Special limited quantity deals start each weekday at 10 a.m. through May 31st. Plus, enjoy free shipping on everything. Just call 800-BUY-DELL for summer sale event savings. That's 800-BUY-DELL.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
It is Friday, and normally, thankfully, Jordan, we probably would have mentioned at least once or twice already the Lakers winning last night.
No, we're not. No, just stop. It's over. Who cares? No one cares.
No one cares?
It's not the top storyline.
It's Friday.
Not anymore. News out of Baton Rouge, head coach Paul Maneri retiring at the end of the season. Is he already done, or we got to wait, obviously, till Monday? There is expectation the Tigers are in a regional, maybe? I asked Glenn Gilbo just now. He said, possibly. I also did ask him about what he put in his story. USA Today and Daily Advertiser, that LSU will target Kevin O'Sullivan, head baseball coach at Florida. Gators beat LSU in the College World Series the last time they were made their appearance in the title game. Title series now. I said it earlier this morning when I was texting Jordan the graph in the group text when we saw this news start to break. I'm like, that's the guy, right? The open checkbook guy covering the Tigers in his time in Baton Rouge and, of course, still here in New Orleans. Mr. Sharif Ishak, WDSU Deportes. Sir, thank you as always. Like, Glenn, this is short notice. I'm literally texting people. Do you want to give your thoughts on this, and I figured I'd get you on because you covered the team, obviously, and you remember a lot of what's taken place over there in that time that Paul first got there. So let's just start with this. Were you surprised by the news? Glenn said no, that there had been a lot of smoke and that he thought this was going to happen.
No, not at all. You know what? I thought the announcement would happen before the season even started to give him a Mike Martin type of farewell, like Mike Martin had at Florida State, but they waited towards this, you know, obviously towards the end of the season to do it. But nah, I'm not shocked at all. I mean, 63 years old, he's done a lot in his 39 years as a head coach and 15 with the LSU Tigers. I'm not shocked at all. I mean, I think he's gone through a lot, you know, off the field, the most recent, the neck surgery. I think he's hurting from that. And just maybe it's, you know, like Drew Brees, at some point in time, it's time to go. It's time to, you know, hang it up and call it a career.
Sharif, you're doing your package, and you started off with how he's remembered, his tenure. What are you saying? How is Paul Maneri going to be remembered? How he should be? Because I think it's two different things, to be honest.
Which one do you want me to start with? You want me to start with the one that he's won 637 games, 9 Super Regionals, 5 College World Series appearances, one national championship? On the other end of it, they should have won more national championships, right? I think that's the part you want me to get to, is they should have probably won more. And I think Paul Maneuver probably is going to say the same thing. Hey, I wish we would have won more in my time at LSU. They had a chance of winning 17 against Florida. It's going to be looked at both ways, and it's fair. It really is fair for the talent that LSU had in his time that they should have won more. We say the same thing about the Saints, right, with Drew Brees. They should have won more, should have had more than one Super Bowl title. So it's a fair thing to say, but he's accomplished a lot. He's run a very good program. No issues at his program. You know, you don't hear anything bad that's ever happened at his program. His kids have been, you know, good kids. They graduated a lot of kids. A lot of guys have gone to the majors. And they've been successful, and they have all, for the most part, loved Paul Maneuver, and he's done a lot for them. So it's going to be a lot more good, trust me. The guy doesn't stick around for this long coaching baseball for almost 40 years if there wasn't a lot of good.
And that's what I was referring to, because I do think it's two ways, right? I was talking about it with Glenn just now, that I feel like there's a section of the LSU fan base that never bought him or thought that they underachieved, I guess would be sort of the shortest way to sort of describe it, fair or not fair. And then you have that other aspect of it, that college baseball's gotten a lot tougher, man. Since he arrived, since the Burtman era, it's a lot harder. I mean, you look at the SEC schools. Everybody invests in them now. They all have new stadiums. LSU was one of the last, actually, to start building and redoing their stadium. So it's just changed, and it's harder. So I'm interested if there's reasonable expectations now. You know, like how many national championships should a coach win in his 10, 15 years?
Listen, I went to LSU, grew up watching LSU. Skip Burtman spoiled us, gave us 5 national championships in his time. That is going to be like everyone's expectation. It's cliche. Every year before the season starts, Maneuver says it's Omaha or bust. They get to Omaha, but they just don't win. And they underachieve. And that's fair to say they've underachieved whenever they have talent. You expect them to win more than, let's see, they've won twice since 2000. You would think they would win more than that. They've only won once under Maneuver, 2009. They got there. They had the talent. Yeah, it's fair to say they underachieved in some seasons. And they probably should have gotten back there a couple of years ago. They had no business losing to Florida State and Mike Martin last year. That team wasn't any good. LSU was much better than them. Should have gotten back some of the underachieving seasons. So, but baseball is a funny game. Teams have caught up to LSU. A lot of the SEC teams that were kind of near the bottom that really didn't think were doing well back then are now doing good. Look at Tennessee. Tennessee's one of those programs. Look at the job the coach has done over there, bringing them up. So, yeah, a lot of those teams are starting to be pretty good teams because of the resources. And LSU just, at this point in time, just got to get with the times. They just got to find someone who can sustain it and take it to another level. I know the ink hasn't dried yet on his retirement, but it's fair. It's fair to say all these things and talk about the other side of it.
At Sharif WDSU, the way to follow Sharif over on Twitter. A couple more minutes with you. So obviously the attention turns to then who? Do you think something like this happens without Scott Woodward having some sort of semblance of who he wants to shortlist? Or is it simply a, what do we have to do to get this individual in? Where do you think this is?
Well, if they got Kim Mulkey, in my opinion, and I know people are going to say, well, she's from here. That don't mean anything. He just took Kim Mulkey from Baylor, where she won 3 national championships. Open checkbook. Just think about that. LSU prints money over there. They can get whoever they want, but then you hear, well, they got Coach O. How do they not get whatever they want? That was under Joe Oliva. This is under Scott Woodward. Woodward's going to get whoever he wants. And, yes, Kevin O'Sullivan is a name I've heard, not just with Glenn Gilbo put down. That's not the first time I've heard it. It's probably the 10th time I've heard Kevin O'Sullivan's name. It's been floating around for the last couple of months. So where there's smoke, there's 100% fire. And I would think that he would be the top name on the list. You got to keep it sustained with someone, a big name. Look at Florida. Yes, they got a new stadium, but you ever hear people talking about Florida baseball? What do they talk about at Florida? Tim Tebow, football, and basketball.
Yeah, I would argue Dan Mullen. And the step they sort of took last season got probably more coverage and press and love than a team that just won the national championship. I think you're absolutely right. Dan Mullen's a bigger name, I think.
You're right. So Kevin O'Sullivan has done a sneaky, great job at Florida in his time there. He recruits well. guys get drafted high in the first round, he gets through two players, the right players, he recruits the right players, has, you know, established that program and got him a new stadium, won him a national championship. I mean, if that is your target, you open the checkbook and say, hey, Kevin, we care about baseball here. You will be 1A, right behind football. You will be there, 1B, 1A, 1B. I mean, baseball is big at LSU, and I think Kevin O'Sullivan knows that. He's been the Tigers. He's been the box many of times. And when I worked at WAFB, I talked to him. He's a class act. Good dude. Great guy. Nice guy to talk to. Very knowledgeable of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, his name is going to be out there. I mean, why not? You go after the biggest name. You don't just go for no-name guys. You've got to go after big names. And I'm sure you're going to hear Bianco because he played for Skip Bertman, and you're going to hear Tennessee's coach's name. And listen, if you want this program to go to the next level, you got to aim high. You got to go for the big names. You do have to go for Kevin O'Sullivan. That should be your number one target.
And, Sharif, you know this, obviously, as you mentioned, rooting for it, going for it, covering them. It's football, it's baseball, then basketball. At Florida, it's football, then basketball, then baseball. I mean, it's just, it is. It's the pecking order. And, you know, I've
you
heard
that. Wrong. It's Tebow first. So?
I'm sorry. Sorry. Tebow is first. And now that he signed a year deal with Jacksonville, it's all about the Jaguars went over there. Did you hear the report this week that they plan on using him like Taysom Hill? Like he legitimately has plans to use. He's making the roster, which will implode national NFL analysts on ESPN, by the way. They've already lost their minds.
The reason why I think they signed him is to distract the national and local media from Trevor Lawrence's development. It makes sense. Keep the eyes off of him on Tebow. Let us develop Trevor Lawrence. It's a smart play. It really is a smart play.
So, be interesting to see what happens here, right? Obviously, look, you got to get regional. Let's just start with that. Is LSU in postseason play?
I say yeah. As a 3-seed, they're in. I think they were in before the Paul Menary decision.
Right.
And I know they wanted to give them the emotional decision going into, you know, Selection Monday, but I think they were in. So that just gives it a Mike Martin feel. Let's finish this out for Paul Menary now for this LSU baseball team. I think they get in. Now how far do they go? As far as, you know, it's been so inconsistent with this team, man. You see them pound the ball one game, and the next game it don't show up against Georgia in the SEC tournament. Just like that. It would look like they, you know, just wanted to get through with the game and just go home and see if they can, you know, get in on Selection Monday. But it all depends, man. You know how baseball is. Look what Florida State did a couple years ago. It's the craziest game of all the sports, man. Teams find a way to get hot at the right time. If they get, you know, they get Landon and AJ Wright and Mikhail Hilliard and get the stick swinging, at least 5-6 runs a game, they're going to have a chance to make a nice run for Menary's last season.
Are you doing the sports cast tonight?
I'm going to Baton Rouge here shortly.
Oh.
Do you need any help?
Well, I'm just saying.
It's disrespectful not to go cover a guy who's been around for 15 years, you know, who was always good to me when I was in Baton Rouge and even my time here at WDSU. So it would be seriously disrespectful not to cover a guy, a legendary coach retiring.
Well, sir, I will be paying attention. I will make sure I catch your packages and all everything else in the coverage. I'm sure over the weekend we'll talk about it, too. And, oh, by the way, poor Jordan. It is bombs away over on the North Shore. UNO, another. Here you go, Sharif. This just happened, by the way. Uh-oh.
Here's Howard. Drives one to left center. That's hit a ton to the wall, and it's out of here.
That is the fourth grand slam in 2 days by UNO. Sharif, the job that the Privateers with the bats are doing, Blake Dean's job this year, man, has been something else. I got a text. That's why I'm asking it. Could Blake Dean join the staff or get that job there? I think he's doing a good job at UNO. And in this instance, I don't know if that would be somebody with Tab, but Blake's job this year has been pretty good, man.
He'd be a good hitting coach. I don't know if they would. I'm biased. Me and Blake live together, so. I think he's a good hitting coach. Man, that was a long time ago. When I first moved here to New Orleans, it was me and Blake lived together. But I'd buy it if I said he'd be the head coach. As a hitting coach, he'd be a very good hitting coach for LSU, you know. No one knows how to hit better than Blake Dean at LSU, let me tell you that. And look what they're doing with UNO. They're banged up. He told me throughout the year they've had a lot of injuries, and I'm surprised he didn't win Coach of the Year. I know they usually give Coach of the Year to the team that wins the conference, but sometimes they should look at what other teams are dealing with. For Blake and them to go from the bottom to the top with all these injuries, he's done a great job. He's done a really good job with that team. Another grand slam, that's 4-2 games.
4-2 games, that's what I'm saying. It's interesting, you're saying he'd be a great hitting coach. I mean, his team has absolutely crushed the ball in this postseason. I mean, in the games they've been playing, I mean, they got 10 hits, 11 runs, and five innings.
I'm saying a good hitting coach for LSU, he'd be a good coach somewhere else, too, like a head coach. So I'm assuming Blake probably wants to be continue being a head coach.
I'm not would be my
him, but I think he would love to be a head coach for the rest of his career.
He's on the air right now on coverage with the headsets, giving a in-between innings interview. Sharif Shaif travels over there to Baton Rouge, man. We'll pay attention over to Channel 6 tonight to your stories.
Thank you, Sharif.
All right.
Yep, appreciate it. Short notice, man. I definitely appreciate it. Quick break. We come back. We'll talk with Christian Clark, the NBA player. What?
Oh, this is really just for me.
How about the King, baby? Lakers. Kendrick Perkins this morning, they're the best team in the NBA.
Good for them. Going through a hurt West.
Let me ask
good for you, LeBron.
More impressive what the Lakers have done or what Milwaukee has done. Would you say those two teams look the best so far?
Well, Milwaukee added a few pieces, so I mean.
Who's the best team in the West right now that you've seen? Through three games, essentially.
None of them.
Christian next on ESPN New Orleans.
Join us for our Memorial Day sales event going on now until June 1st at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat in Houma. Get a great deal on a Ram truck today. See all their new commercial trucks and vans. Southland has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Avenue Wine Spirit Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
If you put a stack of $100 bills and a piece of wood in front of a Formosan termite, what would it eat? Both. They're swarming here and they're hungry. Call Terminex and local experts Dan and Billy Foster, the Bayou Boys. They can treat your home and save you thousands of dollars in damage. Don't let Formosan termites eat you out of house and home. Call Terminex today.
So call those Bayou Boys. They'll get you Terminex tough.
Set yourself up for success when planning your next event. Whether it's wedding, festival, Mardi Gras, rodeo, or concert, Joseph the Contractors knows that it's important to cover your bases. Joseph the Contractors can supply multi-stall restroom, air-conditioned trailers, anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Planning a luxury event? Check out their new black tie luxury restroom and shower trailers. Visit Joseph at viscom.net with locations in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville.
What would you say you do here?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
NBA playoff action time. Knicks Hawks. 6 o'clock ESPN. ABC Jordan has Nets and Celtics at 7:30 Central.
No one cares about that game.
Jeez, some 8:30 Central Clippers and Mavericks over on ESPN. So 2 on ESPN, 1 on ABC. And that's Nets and the Celtics haven't had a good couple of days.
There's any two series that
didn't really
I do
help
not
with that
care
yesterday.
For
and then we still, of course, always watch this through Pelicans, rose-colored glasses. Bring on Mr. Christian Clark, covers the team for The Advocate and Picayune. Christian, a busy day. Not that I don't want to talk NBA and Pels, but LSU baseball took the first hour and a little of the second hour. How are you this afternoon?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I'm still a little juiced up from that Nuggets Trailblazers game last night. Our guy Joel Myers on the mic. That was a fun experience all around. It doesn't get much more fun than an Austin Rivers.
Sound He sounded happy, wasn't he? He didn't sound like happy to be calling a playoff game. He was enjoying himself, Joe Myers. And yes, who'd have thought that Austin Rivers, a guy that, I don't know, Christian, the Pels probably could have used when they were trying to get into the postseason, winds up hitting, what, three big threes to really seal the game?
Yeah, the best part of that was the one he hit, I think, from like the left wing where he could have thrown the ball to Jokic at the elbow, and he's like, nah,
nah. You know,
the likely MVP, I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm letting this go.
Oh, man. I feel in that series, I keep waiting for Damian Lillard to go Dame time. Am I right on that, or do you think it's just a tough overall matchup?
I mean, I think he's been pretty good. I mean, I thought he was pretty impressive. I mean, I guess you could, like, you know, say that you could want more from him at the end of games. You know, I think that's fair. I mean, no, I don't think it's a tough matchup. I mean, I think the Nuggets, they're missing, what, their top three or four, you know,
right,
guards. Like, they're starting Facundo Campazzo, a 5'10" rookie from Argentina, and then Austin Rivers, a two-way, you know, a 10-day guy. So, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, it is kind of fair to want more, even though, you know, I think he...
No, it sounds ridiculous. He had 37 points. Yeah, I know. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, it sounds ridiculous, but and I'm talking, I guess, impact on the game, sort of, to just kind of get everybody else going, himself here. So, I don't know. I just look at it like, yeah, he had 37. And I don't know. It just didn't feel like he had his imprint or stamp on the game, I guess is what I'm trying to long-windedly say.
They're a really bad defensive team, like really bad. I mean, it's a big problem for them, especially mm-hmm. when Nurkic isn't out there. I mean, Nurkic, you know, fouled out early last night, and you know, I definitely didn't think like they were, you know, coming back when Nurkic went to the bench. That's a problem for them.
I was going to start off the segment by saying, speak with Christian Clark, covers the Pelicans. Welcome to the 2021 Lakers playoffs. It's felt like it's been all about the Lakers playoffs, and how different would it have been if LeBron actually would have gotten suspended. Didn't, not a fine. Porzingis gets fined for going to the club. What do you think of this series, man? It just stinks. I think it's different if Chris Paul's healthy.
I totally agree, and to be perfectly honest with you, I was so depressed that I barely flipped over to that game last night. I mean,
I
couldn't even watch it because I was so, you know, I was excited after game one. I'm like, all right, this is going to be a great series. Like, I think the Suns, when they're healthy, they legitimately can challenge the Lakers in a 7-game series. Like, they can do this. I mean, they can't do it right now. Like, Chris Paul, he can't use his right arm. It's just not going to happen. It's hard to watch.
I think what's so aggravating, I don't know, for me, and I text a bunch of my buddies, is just every time the playoffs come around, LeBron has this, you know, gauntlet that he has to go through. And during the game, one of the top players on the other team just goes down, and they still consider it to be just as strong as the gauntlet.
Oh, just as strong, absolutely. Look, that series is going to be tough. Devin Booker's got to be spectacular, you know, and it's not that he's not, but he has to literally be spectacular, sort of take that. So, yeah, I kind of see them moving forward. The Clippers and Mavs, man. Luka, I tell you what, they take tonight. It's a sweep, huh?
Oh, my gosh. And you know, American Airlines Center, it's going to be, like,
full,
you know, packed to the gills,
yes,
they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's you know, people in Dallas, that's the first time they've seen Luka, you know, live in a playoff game. I expect it to be, you know, just a crazy atmosphere. And, man, I'll definitely be watching that one tonight. I'm going to be on Does Paul George Hit the Side of the Backboard watch tonight, because it feels like the Clippers are, like, on the brink of teetering here.
Knicks and Hawks have been an interesting series as well. It's almost like when you watch March Madness, right, the mid-level teams, right? It's a 4-5 matchup. And I love the Trae Young situation. I don't care for what the fan things are doing over there, but overall, man, I think this could be fun for Atlanta. I mean, it's been a long, long time, man, since they've hosted a playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, I expect the Hawks to win the series. I mean, I picked them coming in. I mean, mm-hmm. I just think they just have a lot more skill, a lot more talent. But, you know, on the other end, I guess this is a lot of their guys' first time in the playoffs. But Trae Young has been really impressive as kind of the, you know, the engine of an offense in the playoffs. Like, that dude is just really, really good. And, you know, we've kind of seen these two games, how big a weapon is that floater is, you know, against a pretty good Knicks defense. Like, you know, it's all, like, Luka's really good at that shot, too, the floater. Like, that's if you could do that really well, like, that's a huge weapon come playoff time.
Mm-hmm. Christian Clark covers the Pelicans for the Advocates and the Picayune. He has a piece up there today on timeline, Zion, clock is ticking, all this. I was trying to have a good weekend, Christian. But actually, no. What you laid out was... I call it Jordan. This is perfect for you. You know, like when you study, because he's in college, Christian. He has 1 year left over at SLU. You know, like the something for dummies, Microsoft Word for dummies. Christian Clark put a perfect piece to understand the Pels offseason, who's perfect. Owed what, what needs to happen, and why this offseason is important. Christian, it was a very good job. I didn't care to read how certain players were owed certain money, but you laid it out, man. And it's not to scare or get the fan base riled up. But why do you make the case that this is a big offseason for this franchise?
I mean, yeah, so I think the biggest thing is that this is the last offseason you're going to have before you can come to Zion Williamson, you know, with an extension in 2022. You know, in the history of the NBA, nobody on their rookie scale contract has turned down a max extension, which, you know, it's the Pelicans will almost assuredly offer Zion next summer, no matter what happens this next year. You know, that's still a ways away, but just looking at these past two seasons, I mean, they just haven't gone well. I mean, I think we all know that. I think everybody who watched Zion's exit interview after the season ended could detect frustration. I mean, it was really, really apparent. I mean, the quote that stuck out to me the most was, all season when they were dropping these close games, he's like, well, I feel like we're close. And he's asked that question again.
Right.
And he's like, you know, that's saying we're close after we lost so much is the definition of insanity. So I'm not going to go there. So, you know, this team needs to get better. And I think, you know, it needs to happen in this upcoming season. And they have avenues to do that too. So, you know, I'm not trying to paint this as a doomsday scenario. I'm just saying, there should be an incredible amount of urgency to make this a better team and get some pieces that fit better around Zion and Brandon Ingram in these next few months.
And Christian, I love how you said that, because that's what I've been saying too. I don't want to say, yes, it's obvious. You need better players around Zion. But I don't want it to be such a, it's about him, because you need a better basketball team. Look, I was going to ask you, and I think I did when I talked to you earlier in the week or even last week. I forgot what day of the week it is, Christian. When you look at these playoffs, what do you need? Yes, you need your superstar. Yes, you've got to have an all-star. But I need a Caruso. I need a, you know, player that comes off the guy that we keep referring to with the Suns in game two that kind of brought them back a little bit. You know, you need guy, Austin Rivers. You know, yeah, Payne. Hardaway, you know, with the right wing three. I just, you got to have guys that fight, energy, passion, heart, all these different things. The effort level, we opened it up to callers to give us some words. Effort level was one that somebody brought up as well, that you see that's required in the postseason to play. Your guys have got to play. You need bench. You need guys off the bench. You need guys that you never have heard from that step up. There's a lot. So I agree with Zion. I played the bite, actually, on Wednesday, where he said, we're not close. There's a lot this roster needs.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I was making, you know, my personal wish list for what's the one thing I hope, you know, the Pelicans get, you know, over these next few months, it's an upgrade at the starting backcourt spot and someone who can control the game a little bit. You know, just some creation at one of the starting backcourt spots. I mean, I think Nickeil Alexander-Walker, he showed some nice stuff. Like, maybe he's a guy who competes for a starting spot next year, but I think you got to find an upgrade there that wasn't on the roster this season.
You're kinder. I said an entire new backcourt. And look, it's not that I don't think that some of those members on that backcourt aren't good players. Christian, again, I watch this through Pelicans glasses, right? So if you go through the Western Conference, you tell me Pel's backcourt versus, you know, and I understand this because I said this to somebody, they're like, well, who's stopping him? But somebody versus Luka, I get it. You're not going to have somebody to create or stop him, but you got to counter. You have to score. I mean, the difference in Donovan Mitchell with or without the Jazz is night and day. You mentioned Murray with the Nuggets. They're a better team. Damian Lillard with the Blazers. Steph Curry with the Warriors. Wait for Klay Thompson to come in. They're all of a sudden the champions. You better have a backcourt, man. And I don't have to tell you, look at what Ja Morant's doing. You know, I mean,
oh my God,
you're going to have to play him. Like, You better have somebody that can score in your backcourt or somebody that can defend, because goodness gracious, Drew Holiday's, you know, presence in Milwaukee has been night and day, right? But that guy can lock you down and can also create, make shots. You've got to have one of the other in that backcourt, or you have zero chance, Christian, here's the key, to win four games. It's not one, it's four games to win in a series.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, watching that Bucks series has been really interesting. I don't think Miami is as good as a team as they right. were last year, but, oh, my gosh, are the Milwaukee Bucks like such a better team. And, you know, I remember there were, you know, kind of some arguments that, oh, the Pelicans, like, at least in the regular season, like, they won't notice that much of a difference between Eric Bledsoe and Jrue Holiday. Like, Jrue Holiday is, of course, a better player, but, like, they're close. And I think, you know, what this year showed, no, they're not close. That gulf is huge, and that gulf only becomes wider the more important the games get.
All right, Christian. Let's go over the games tonight and see who you like, and then we'll say goodbye to you. Thank you for your time, as always, by the way. So tonight we said Hawks and Knicks. Who you like?
Give me the Hawks, and okay. Trey to have a really big game.
Give Jordan one reason, because he already said when I mentioned next Celtics, he was not paying attention.
I'm not paying attention. I'm not. There's nothing that he can say.
Give him
it's
one reason.
It's over with.
One reason, Christian.
For a Hawks win?
No, for a Nets Celtics.
Why even watch it?
Why
waste my time?
Why switch the channel to ABC?
Oh, okay. I mean, you gotta start learning about this Nets team before they're unfortunately in the finals.
Okay. True. True.
Okay. You wanna,
That's a good point.
See, I was gonna. My other suggestion would have been to learn which member of the Celtics team could be available in a trade.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, because that's right. That seems to be a lot. I mean, some of those guys are not going to be there, right? Do you see a lot of changes in Boston coming? I do.
Oh yeah, I think that's definitely on the table and likely. And you know, it's kind of interesting. I mean, they're dealing with something that I think, you know, the Pelicans are dealing with is, like, their biggest problem is that the roster beyond the best two players just isn't that good. But also, you know, when you have two really good forwards, you know, they complement each other to a certain extent, but, like, there's just a lot of overlap, you know? Like, obviously you'd rather have a really good guard and a really good forward rather than two really good forwards. So I think in some ways, like, they have some of the similar problems the Pelicans do.
Clippers-Mavs.
Oh, man.
The last stand for L.A. here? Come on.
Give me the Mavs and give me Paul George hitting the side of the backboard in the fourth quarter.
I like it.
Playoff P.
Yeah.
Dude, last year, a member of the Kingdom, Travis, he's a routine caller here. He loves the Lakers. He always calls on behalf of LeBron, blames everybody when they lose, and calls immediately after they win to let you know they won. He absolutely, you know, we'll look at this, and he calls him Pandemic P in the postseason when it comes to playoffs. He's not a fan of Paul George. He says he's got streaks to it. It's just, you know, it's one of those things, though, that as we wrap up here, Christian, that the Clippers are a good example. You can have talent. The pieces have to fit. You, like I do, I'm sure, follow the local reporters in the cities of the NBA. And reading their thoughts and tweets during the game, that's their problem. You have Kawhi, you have Paul, but it's like the rest of the pieces don't work, and Ty Lue's had trouble kind of making it all fit together and be cohesive. You have two good, but that's why I think we started and we stressed during our conversation today. Build a good basketball team, then Zion and Brandon can succeed, if that makes sense, instead of build towards them, something like that.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we did not realize that. I guess in the moment, you know, we did when they won the championship, maybe what a good fit that Toronto roster was for Kawhi Leonard. I mean, he had it made in the shade there. I mean, just a great roster, and Kyle Lowry was a great guy for him to play with for a lot of different reasons on court. And I think, you know, some of the leadership stuff too.
As always, man, Christian, appreciate it, man. Enjoy the game tonight.
Hey, appreciate it, guys.
Thank you, Christian.
Slee Clark 3000. So follow over on Twitter. What are you all giddy about? Texas A&M Aggie?
Close to a three-day weekend.
Oh, is that
we're
what
halfway
is?
There.
You got big plans?
Might.
Big? Oh, look at the gleam in your eyes.
Boat.
Oh, watch out, ladies.
A little boat day.
Oh, a boat? No. No. The last time you're on a boat.
No.
You brought COVID home.
It's just a boat.
No boats for you. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.